Which pastor would you prefer? Okay, then here's Brother Moore.
Thank you, Brother Morgan, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Philippians chapter 3? I appreciate you watching every Sunday morning, and I hope it's a blessing to you. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, I hope that I'll be able to say something to you that'll cause you to realize that you need to be saved. And if you are saved, then we want to establish you in the truth. In Philippians chapter 3, will you read with me from verse 17? Philippians 3:17 says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Now, I want to talk to you about following the Apostle Paul. In this age in which we're living and talking to people that claim to be Christians, claim to be believers, I've found that the majority of them that I talk to know little or nothing about rightly dividing the word of truth. They believe that Jesus Christ came to give us an example and show us how to live in order that someday we can go to heaven. And in other words, if we follow his example, then we'll be good Christians and God will be happy with us and on and on. But that's not the case at all. The Bible is very definitely clear pertaining to following the Apostle Paul. Notice how Paul stresses himself in this passage in verse 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now even tell you even weeping, they're the enemies of the cross of Christ." In other words, how will I know then whether an individual is following the Apostle Paul? Well, I'll know that by their attitude toward the cross of Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul is the first individual in the Word of God that exalted the cross of Christ. Illustration. Turn back, please, to Acts chapter 2. And notice in Acts chapter 2, the preaching of the Apostle Peter. In Acts chapter 2, notice in verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain," on and on. Go to chapter 3. In chapter 3, notice in verse 13, Peter said, "The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." My point is that the Apostle Paul is the first in the Bible to exalt the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ told the apostles in Matthew chapter 16, he said, "I'm going up to Jerusalem, and the Gentiles are going to take me, and they're going to crucify and kill me, and I'm going to be raised again the third day." But Peter began to rebuke him and said, "Not so, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou savest not the things of God, but those of men." In other words, Peter did not believe in the exaltation of the cross of Christ. He preached a murder indictment against the nation Israel for crucifying the Messiah. And he said, "Even though you by wicked hands have taken and crucified the Son of God, God hath raised him up." And he says that he's raised him up to sit upon David's throne. You see, Peter did not believe that Jesus Christ died for his sins. When he preached to those people in Acts 2, when he preached to those people in Acts chapter 3, Peter did not preach that Jesus Christ died for his sins. Peter preached that Jesus was the Messiah, the King of Israel, and he was. But he preached, "You murdered him, you crucified and slew him, but God raised him up." And that is true. That is what happened. But the point was, he did not glory in the cross of Christ. Paul did. Paul said, we glory in the cross of Christ. And so Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk. Shows you have us for an example. Well, how can I mark them? Based upon their attitude toward the cross of Christ. After the Easter and during the Easter period of time and whatever, I listen to preachers preach on the television and the radio, and you know what they do? They preach that Jesus Christ's death at Calvary was a tremendous tragedy. They just carry on something terrible about the tragedy that happened in A.D. 33 when Jesus Christ bore his cross out to Calvary and on. They do not glory in the cross of Christ. He said, mark them for that walk so as you have us for an example. But that isn't all. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, he said, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory is in their shame. And they mind earthly things. But that isn't all. He says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Paul is the only person that preached the rapture of the church. People say the rapture is in Matthew chapter 24. No way. In Matthew 24, the context is the wrath of God. Jesus Christ is telling them that the wrath is going to fall. And he said there will be two in the field. One should be taken, the other should be left. There will be two in the bed. One should be taken, the other left. So people just twist that around and they say, one should be taken in the rapture. No, sir. One should be taken in the wrath and the other left. How do I know that? Well, the apostles certainly didn't. They didn't recognize that. For instance, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ went up from them. They watched him as the clouds received him out of their sight. And the two men in white stood beside them and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall come unto you as you've seen him go into heaven. In other words, they were expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come again and establish the kingdom over Israel. They were expecting to come again and sit upon the throne of David and on. Paul, not so. Paul gloried in the cross of Christ. Paul said Jesus Christ died for our sins. He said that Jesus Christ was raised for our justification. He said that Jesus Christ was made sin for us. Him who knew no sin became our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Paul said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Paul gloried in the cross of Christ because he realized that it is through the cross of Christ and through the cross alone that we can be saved from the eternal damnation that awaits all sinners that reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I believe in following the Apostle Paul. Why should we follow Paul? Well, we should follow the Apostle Paul, number one, because the Bible says so. I mean, that's good enough for me. If the Bible says, and I'm talking about the King James Bible, if the Bible says that I ought to follow the Apostle Paul, then I believe that's exactly what I ought to do. Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians, and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and notice verse 14. 1 Corinthians 4:14 says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now here's the verse. Verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Be ye followers of me. Now, 1 Corinthians 11, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In other words, the Apostle Paul then followed the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to put on the board up here our chart that we use every week. And I'm going to say that right here represents the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died at Calvary. Back here is the beginning of his ministry. In here would be Matthew through the book of John. During that period of time, he's training the 12 apostles that they might carry on his ministry to Israel after he's gone. So I'm going to come on the other side. Now, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ was buried, and rose from the dead. He ascended up to heaven, and in Acts chapter 9, Jesus Christ appeared under the Apostle Paul, and the Bible says that he was brighter than the noonday sun. And Paul fell to the ground there, and Jesus Christ said to the Paul said to Jesus Christ, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee," and on and on. And he said, "I now send thee unto the people and to the Gentiles." In other words, then, the message of grace came down to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me." He's not saying to anybody in the period of time of Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, he's not saying unto those people back there for you to forget about the message that Peter preached unto you. He's saying unto you that are listening to my voice right now, you people, you be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He's got no argument with the ministry of Peter. For instance, Peter said that Jesus Christ had been raised up to sit on the throne of David. In other words, he believed that Jesus Christ is going to come again and establish the kingdom, and he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, because that's the prophecy. But this ministry of the Apostle Paul in here has to do with a mystery. It has to do with the church, which is the body of Christ. It has to do with a dispensation that is a mystery. In fact, it had to do with a gap across here. In other words, the Old Testament prophets saw the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the ministry of the 12 apostles. The Old Testament prophets saw the rejection and the betrayal of Judas Iscariot as he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw Jesus Christ being taken by wicked hands and being crucified as the King of Israel. The Old Testament prophets saw his burial. They saw his resurrection. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ ascend up to heaven. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ send the Holy Spirit back. They saw him pouring out, according to Joel chapter 2, his Spirit upon all flesh. They saw the regathering of Israel. They saw the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his reigning over the house of Jacob. They saw the time of peace over there that is referred to when the lamb and the lion shall lay down together, and on and on. They saw the people beating their swords into plowshares and making war no longer, and on and on. But you know what they didn't see? They looked across a gap in here. They looked across a valley, if you please, in here, and they couldn't see what was in this period of time that we're now living in. All this was a mystery hid in God from the foundation of the world, and was revealed through and to the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Jesus Christ." Turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians, and look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, notice in verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." I believe in following the Apostle Paul because God's Word says that I ought to follow the Apostle Paul. Now notice the words of the Lord Jesus. Turn back, please, to John. I look in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, Jesus Christ has been betrayed. Jesus Christ is washing the apostles' feet here, and he begins to preach unto them. Verse 19, he says, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he." Now, very closely, watch verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Hold of that passage and turn, please, to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture. You see, the interpretation of the Bible is within the Bible itself. The Bible interprets itself. God doesn't need your interpreter. God doesn't need my interpretation. God interprets His own Word. Jesus Christ said, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. In other words, you can't receive God the Father unless you receive God the Son. You can't receive God the Son unless you receive the one that the Son sent unto you. In Acts chapter 26, verse 15. Acts 26, 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And if you're following the Apostle Peter, if you're following the ministry of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you're following any other apostle than Jesus Christ, then you are not turned from darkness unto light, and you are not saved by grace through faith. The message of grace, the gospel of the grace of God, was given to the apostle to the Gentiles for the Gentiles, and was sent to the Gentiles, and that is unmistakable to you that believe the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it. But that isn't all. Let's try again. Turn to John chapter 12. Now remember that Jesus Christ said, he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me, and on. You cannot receive Jesus Christ unless you receive the Apostle Paul. In John chapter 12, notice in verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now watch closely. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. If you reject what Jesus Christ had to say, that which he had to say is going to judge you. Well, what did he have to say? He said in chapter 13, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. You cannot get to God without Jesus Christ dying for your sins. And you cannot get to the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins without the Apostle Paul. Why? Because this was a mystery hid in God from the foundation of the world. Once again, bear with me. It was no mystery that Jesus Christ would be born in the manger. It is prophesied in the Old Testament Scripture. It was no mystery that he would be born to reign upon the throne of Jacob. Why, the angel Gabriel said unto Mary, fear not, thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. It was no mystery that that son would be born in Bethlehem, according to the prophecy. It was no mystery that he would be baptized. It was no mystery that he would receive a following of people. It was no mystery that Judas Iscariot would betray him. It was no mystery that he would die at Calvary, be buried, and rise from the dead. It was no mystery that he would call Israel to repentance. It was no mystery that he'd pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. What was the mystery? That Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day for your justification. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You cannot be saved. There is no salvation for you outside the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins. How do I know that Jesus Christ died for your sins? I know that because the Bible says so. This Bible must be rightly divided. Therefore, I know that there are 13 epistles, starting with the book of Romans and going through Philemon, that are accredited to the Apostle Paul. And Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. I believe that I ought to follow the Apostle Paul. Why? Because the Bible says so. That's why. Don't you tell people you believe the Bible and deny that you ought to follow the Apostle Paul. I've been into homes and talked to people and talk about the Apostle Paul and whatever, and have those people sarcastically and arrogantly say to me, well, I believe in following Jesus myself. No, you don't. If you believed in following the Lord Jesus, you'd follow the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when He told you in His Bible that you cannot receive Him unless you receive whomsoever He sent. And He sent the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, and you cannot be saved without the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul told you that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Peter didn't. Peter did not tell you that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Notice what Peter told the Gentiles. Turn to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, verse 28. Acts 10, verse 28. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, you wouldn't want a pastor like that today, would you? Then why would you follow the Apostle Peter? You do not want a man that would come to your house. Are you listening? If the Apostle Peter had come to your house, he would have said unto you, it's an unlawful thing for me, a Jew, to keep company or come into one of another nation. Until that day that we read about in Acts chapter 10 there, until the Lord let that sheet down in front of Peter and told him to rise and eat, until he showed him that sign. Up until then, Peter would have called you unclean. He would have called you common, and he would have had nothing to do with you whatsoever. You would have called him a sanctimonious hypocrite. You'd have said, well, the pastor of that church down there, that church at Jerusalem, won't even come into my house. And you can bet your little booties, he wouldn't have come into your house. He only came to Cornelius that day because the Holy Spirit left him no other way out. And he went to Cornelius' house. And what did he do? When he got in there, he said, it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or coming to one of another nation. But God has showed me that I shall not call any man common or unclean. How did he show it? He showed him by letting that sheet down in front of him that had all those unclean beasts in front of it. And those unclean beasts represented the Gentiles. And God said, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, not so. Nothing common or unclean ever passed through my lips. Peter would have had nothing to do with you. He wouldn't have come around you at all. And neither would John. Neither would James. In fact of the business, they were going through Samaria. Jesus had his face as if he was going to Jerusalem. And the Samaritans would not receive him. And you know what John, the beloved apostle John, said? He said, would thou have us to rain down fire on them and burn them as Elijah did those people in his day? Why, there was a Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus Christ, and she prayed unto him, and she said, Lord, come heal my daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered that Gentile woman not one word. And the apostle said, send that woman away. She's crying after us. And Jesus turned to that Gentile woman, and he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Peter would have called you a dog. Peter would have counted you unclean. He wouldn't want anything to do with you. But in this particular case, in Acts chapter 10, God is more or less hemmed him in. And he ends up over there. And look what it says to this Gentile. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. He's wrong in this dispensation of grace, beloved. That passage won't work today. You say, are you telling me that passage is untrue? No. I'm telling you it's untrue for you. I'm telling you if you believe that you're going to be received into glory because you claim to fear God and work righteousness, you've got another thought coming. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there is none that feareth God, no, not one. There is none that worketh righteousness, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. The Bible said all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If you're depending on your fear of God and your working of righteousness to get you to glory, then you better forget it right now. You're going to end up in hell. Let's try it again. In Acts chapter 10, verse 35, Peter said, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Turn to Romans chapter 3, please. In Romans chapter 3, notice in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all unprofitable. And on he goes. There are none that fear God and work righteousness in this day. Well, then how about us? What is the message to us? Look in Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, and look at verse 4. In Titus 3, 4, the Bible said, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, that's all mankind. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can be saved right now if you will believe that Jesus Christ did the righteousness for you. He died for you, was buried and rose again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening today. Until next week. Good day.